I think we're about to get screwed. Real bad.
And Mariner fans are about to get really happy.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Alley podcast, where Greg Kirkland is absent, and it is hosted by Andrew Mern, so be prepared for that. So with us tonight, we have Tanya, Jason, and subbing for Greg, we have Matt Provenzano. Provenzano, is that it?
That's correct. That's correct.
All right. Here we go. How you doing, everyone?
Just great.
Beautiful. Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good? All right. Other than the whole Cano possibly going to Seattle and probably ruining his career thing.
Guys, wait. We have a quote from Cano's dad, Papa Cano.
Papa Cano.
Breaking quote.
Breaking news, everyone. Cano's father says that it looks like the Yankees don't seem to want him.
Aww.
Aww. Poor Papa Cano.
Kind of sad.
Head.
Cano's dad was irked by Cashman's comments, saying Cano, quote, loved money. Jose asked, who doesn't love money? I don't know what this means, Marchand.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, this podcast got derailed.
I feel like this is a really weird, like, game of chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And Cano's about to win.
Probably. I mean, it does seem like the Mariners want to give him a huge, like, 10-year deal or something close to that. Is that what you've been seeing?
Yeah.
Except usually when you play chicken, it doesn't end in $250 million.
That would be an expensive game usually. Of chicken.
But, like, isn't the purpose of chicken to have the other side give in? Because
well, I think
Yankees...
that's what they both want. Like, Cano wants the Yankees to give in.
Yeah.
They're not. Yankees want Cano to give in. He's not.
So is Cano just going to get as close as he can to being a Mariner as possible before the Yankees actually say, like, wait, no, we'll sign you?
Well, I guess that's what he's hoping.
Maybe he's got to have the contract in front of him with the pen in hand.
I'm going to do it.
Here it comes. This is it.
I swear I'll go with Jack Z.
Yeah, I object.
Let me just check my phone right now. Oh.
Text message from Hal. 20 years. $400 million. What's the best option?
Oh, my stars.
But see, the last time the Yankees really wanted a player and they didn't get him, they, like, pouted. And they didn't get anything. They didn't get Cliff Lee. They were just like, fine, we're not going to do anything.
We're done. We're done here.
What was interesting is that the other day, Cashman referenced like how the Astros and Mets were bidding on Carlos Beltran in the 2004-05 offseason and how the Astros didn't end up with Beltran. And then they had, like, because they had invested their entire offseason in trying to bring Beltran back, they didn't get anyone. But that's, like, exactly what Cashman did with Cliff Lee in 2010, 11. And then they managed to end up in the postseason because Bartolo Colon and Freddy Garcia decided to start being people again.
One because of steroids, most likely, though. Or allegedly speaking.
Who?
Bartolo Colon.
Oh, well, maybe. Well, he's more HGH, but...
Well, hey, thank God for steroids in that season.
He was a delight to watch.
Yeah, but the Yankees aren't going to want him back because of that.
No, probably not. They probably want to be, like, distancing themselves from these players that have biogenesis around them. Of course, apparently they were interested in Johnny Peralta, so hell if I know.
Well, and he wants more than Scott Kazmir got, and LOL, no. I just wonder what's going to happen if they don't get Cano, because I have a feeling they're going to panic, and we're going to end up with, like, Chu, Infante, and, like...
Omar Infante, four-year contract.
Yes. Someone really bad.
And then everyone will cry when Infante is nothing close to Cano.
Yeah, I feel like people have this unrealistic expectation of what Omar Infante is going to bring to the table. He only had like a 92 WRC plus in the year before. He was at 89. Yeah, the Marlins.
He's a league average hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to be Cano.
No.
You know, he's a fine backup / you know, whatever. But, you know, he's not going to replace a perennial all-star in, you know, Cano. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, he barely walks, and his career high in homers is 16, and that was in 2004. And he's a right-handed hitter.
Well, I mean, they do need something right-handed.
They do, but Espanza isn't really anything.
Yeah.
He'll have a decent amount of leverage, though, in the negotiation process. I mean, it's either that or Kelly Johnson. I mean, I guess Kelly Johnson's a decent alternative. But
I'm sure the Yankees don't want to end up having to rely on Kelly Johnson more than like a utility role, which seems to be like the role they were kind of envisioning for him when they signed Kelly Johnson.
Which would be great.
Yeah, because I think he's a fine utility player, like a better one that's not really like immune to platoon splits. And you haven't really seen that on the Yankees bench in the past few years. You just hope that he doesn't end up in the lineup too much, because otherwise he'll probably get overexposed. But
just sign Cano.
Yeah.
Just do it.
I don't really know who would even be at second base if they don't sign Cano. So I don't really want to find out. But I'm also like,
I'd assume,
I'm also terrified of like this 10-year contract.
I mean, I'd assume it'd be Infante, but probably for 3 or 4 years.
Ugh.
You know, I think the projection was about 3 years, $30 million, but I wouldn't be surprised. The Yankees, with their wonderful efficiency, would offer him an extra year.
And they really don't have anything at second base.
At this point, there is almost nobody in the system that I would not trade for a good, you know, for the right person. Besides Gary Sanchez, and even him now, it's kind of like you bite the bullet and you trade him away. Like, you know, if we could get David Price. For...
You can't get David.
Yeah, I know. I'm speaking hypothetically, thank you. I would trade him. I would not like to, but I would. You know, there's nobody that's like, no, this guy's the future of the Yankees, because
all of our prospects are terrible.
Yeah. Except Greg Bird.
Obligatory
Greg Bird comment.
I mean, their 2013 draft class was, I'd say, pretty decent, though. I think they kind of like, not, I wouldn't say wisened up, but I think they understand that that needs to be a stronger part of the organization. I think Jagielo, Judge are some pretty solid prospects, though.
You just have to hope that they don't ruin them between the draft and.
Yeah,
I'd like to see Judge play a game.
That'd be cool. But yeah, no, like.
Are we sure he's real?
He's. Too
I mean,
they just shop him in.
Yeah. They, like, got a stand-in out of the crowd that day.
He actually, yeah, he is real. I actually have a mutual friend with him on Facebook.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Insider.
Get us an in.
Get us in, Aaron Judge.
Ew.
And all I saw was a picture of him playing, but not him actually playing.
Yeah.
The idea of him playing.
This is not...
It was actually Dante Bichette on stilts. He's trying to make it, guys.
I do like Jagielo, but he's a few years off still.
We know you like Jagielo.
Yeah, I mean, he's a polished college bat. Like, he tore up the Cape last summer. I mean, it's nice that they're not just going after high school talent. They found someone who actually is a little bit more developed and isn't developed by the Yankee farm system, which does such a wonderful job.
Right. I think that they really needed to do that, because all these guys who are so far away and need a lot of, like, development have not gone so well. Don't do it.
Tito Colbert.
Everyone in the world.
Eric Duncan.
Oh, God.
He was a thing.
I keep watching Twitter because I'm afraid it's going to be like, yeah. Rose Cano.
It's like a mini heart attack every time you refresh.
I know. So I guess we should talk about that whole, like, Jacoby Ellsbury thing that happened.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
Seriously, it was like 1 minute, it was like Yankees offered him a deal. 10 minutes later, it was like talks are close. And then 5 minutes later, the deal was done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the Yankees offer a contract to, like, 4 free agents. And then it's like, oh, Ellsbury is probably going to sign. Wait, what?
Yeah.
It's like, where did this come from? They haven't even been talking about him. Like, there was, like, one, like, unsubstantiated rumor that he was, like, in New York to take a physical or something.
Yeah, and everybody was like, yeah, sure. Like,
yeah, that's a bit of crap. And then it was like, nope, he's already a Yankee. He's already signed.
We're done.
That's why I wonder just how long were they spending thinking about this particular move? I mean, they've been talking about Chu, they've been talking about Kano, but I spend more time like picking out a phone than like they spent, it sounds like paying $153 million for Ellsbury.
Well, it said that they were deeply involved with Beltran until like Saturday, and then they felt like he was going to get his 3 years or whatever.
48 million.
So they switched gears to Ellsbury. Which means
the contract
that
didn't even exist.
Yeah.
The Royals didn't actually give him that contract. So like what was going on?
Well, I mean,
it might still like happen.
Could have been another team. Uh-oh, 4 new tweets. Crap.
Nothing.
This is going to be my life.
No, but seriously, like, you know, there was no contract, so it was like, what were they basing off the fact that they couldn't sign Beltran? Like, you know, I guess at some point they said, like, we'd rather have, I guess, you know, Ellsbury for 7 years than Beltran for 2, possibly 3.
Well, it sounded like it was probably going concerns. To be 3, because it sounds like Beltran did have a 3-year contract in hand. I guess Beltran's camp is still working on that contract, but it does sound like he'll get 3 years. Maybe the Yankees just didn't want
to. I think he probably will.
Yeah. I feel like GMDM is going to do it.
Yep. And then they're going to trade Billy Butler for nothing. Because, you know, nobody is trading anything for anything right now. But, like, can we talk about these trades that have been going down? Like,
yeah, what was that one day? Like, the Ellsbury thing was just the end of the day, but everything was happening that day.
Yeah, like the Rockies traded Fowler for like
crap.
2 random guys. Yankees could have used him. Like they traded Aoki for Will Smith, the rapper.
Yeah, the Brewers traded for Will Smith, the rapper.
It's just like, where is Brian Cashman?
But you're assuming that like these teams are calling every team and saying like, well, this is what I can get from X. What can you offer? And that's not necessarily the case.
And then Doug Fister. I mean, like, is Brian Cashman making any calls? Like, are we still with the policy that everyone's trying to screw over the Yankees just because they're the Yankees? Like, it's just unbelievable.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think anybody knew that like Doug Fister was imminently being traded.
True.
And if they just said like, hey dudes, we are going to get rid of Doug Fister and we would like your prospect, and the Nationals are like, lol, okay, then, you know, they're not going to call the Yankees and be like, well, we can get this guy, but we would like your guy.
That's true.
It could be like a factor where like in the Nationals personal rankings they valued these Tigers guys more than I guess anyone else, so could be that.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, like, they gave up Kroll, who was, like, if I'm not mistaken, he was, like, number 5 in their organization's system. So he wasn't, like, a nobody, but the other two, I think it was Rice and
Lombardozzi?
And Lombardozzi, who are
utility.
Basically just throw-ins. Yeah, complete throw-ins. So, I can understand what DeBrassi's thinking. He wants to replace Fister with Smiley in the rotation, and then hopefully replace Smiley's innings in the bullpen with Nathan's. And I could see that working out if Kroll actually develops into a real major league pitcher, but that's a bit of a risk, giving up Fister.
That is.
I'd give up our 5th best prospect for Doug Fister.
Yeah, I agree.
Heartbeat.
I'd give up our 3rd best prospect.
Step up
for
there,
Doug.
Mason Williams.
Mason Williams for Fister. Done.
Yeah.
I think I might trade Mason Williams straight up for Brett Anderson.
Yeah.
That's risky.
I mean, I wouldn't be heartbroken about that.
I wouldn't be heartbroken, but I think that's risky because...
Oh, no, it definitely is.
I mean, Brett Anderson's, like, made of...
glass.
Paper.
But I think that Mason Williams' stock will continue to fall. Like, I just am not confident in him. So I would like the Yankees to cash in before... he's useless.
He needs to fix his life.
I guess it would also be like kind of a sell. It'd be also like selling low on Mason Williams, but
he's selling real low. Because I mean, he was their best prospect a year ago.
Well, I still think Aaron Sanchez is the best prospect here.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, it was debatable
on a
anyway.
Lot of lists.
No, yeah, it's true.
five tools, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. But then, doesn't Brett Anderson have an option for another year after 2014, I think? Did I make that up? I don't know.
He's pitched like 160 innings total in 3 years.
Oof.
Yeah, he's had a lot of trouble staying healthy.
Oh, no.
That's all we need, really.
But yeah, he has a $12 million club option for 2015.
Mm.
And a $1.5 million buyout. So
I'd give up, like, I don't even know.
Somebody.
Something insignificant. A couple insignificant things.
Nunez.
Nunez everyone is wants the centerpiece.
You just give away Nunez's helmet.
That could be worth more than Nunez.
Nunez, Jabba, Cervelli. Get it done, Cash.
Jabba's not even on the team anymore.
Get it done, Levine.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Are they gonna re-sign Jabba just to trade him?
Yes.
Sign and trade. Not just for the NBA.
Did we stop talking about Jacoby Ellsbury? Like,
yeah, we can start talking about Jacoby Ellsbury again. I mean,
we're barely talking about him. Like, yeah. I don't really want to talk about him because I don't really like him. Okay. So, like, when it first happened, I flipped my shit because I did not want Jacoby Ellsbury on my team. A couple hours later, I kind of came to it, you know, realized, like, all right, you know, it's not as bad as I think. It's not the worst thing that could have happened. Still is not what I wanted to happen. But, like, still I'm going to have problems rooting for Jacoby Ellsbury, considering I have made fun of him for years.
Yeah, it's kind
of... Well, you know what Jerry Seinfeld says, in baseball you're really just rooting for laundry.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean...
And, I mean, you found a way to root for Johnny Damon, and
yeah,
I thought that would happen, and...
We briefly
Brian McCann. Oh, God.
In April.
What?
We briefly rooted for Kevin Youkilis in April.
That did happen. We did... I mean, yeah, but that was a one-year deal. Like, I mean, we have to see Jacoby Ellsbury's face for the next 7 years. That's a lot of Jacoby face.
And then, like, the first time he wins a game...
Probably.
I have, like, vague optimism about Jacoby Ellsbury. I think, I mean, the Yankees did need an outfielder for, like, beyond 2014. Yeah. Like, at first I hadn't realized, but, like, yeah, they don't have anyone under contract past next year in the outfield, and Ellsbury is, like, only just now turning 30. So, it's,
yeah,
they need someone to, like, hold that down, and he's a superior Brett Gardner clone, but Brett Gardner is also not under contract past next year.
And I don't know, I mean, like, I love Gardner, but I don't know that it's in their best interest to sign him again.
Yeah, I feel like you might get a Michael Bourne contract, and Bourne, like, I mean, Bourne's just one season into his contract with the Indians, but it was just kind of mediocre.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, hypothetically, yes, I could see him getting a Bourne-type contract, but he doesn't have
the Bourne numbers, I guess.
Yeah, he doesn't have the numbers, he doesn't, you know, he's been hurt, he was a part-time player, you know, he's only really had so much, you know, time to really prove himself. I don't think he'll get that much. I mean, I think that it could be in their best interest to re-sign him if it's, like, a very, you know, conservative deal. Unlikely, but, you know...
I don't think I would give him more than, like, 3 years.
Exactly. I would give him more than 3 years.
You know he's going to demand more, though. It's going he's going to somehow make the case that he's similar to Jacoby Ellsbury. I mean, albeit he doesn't have the same ceiling that Jacoby Ellsbury's had, but he's going to make the case that he's got the speed, like, he's an elite defender, and some team is going to give him in the range of five years, 6 years.
I don't know about that. Michael Bourne got 4 years, $48 million with a vesting option for the fifth year. And I feel like that's actually what Gardner more closely compares to than Ellsbury. Because even though, like, yeah, Ellsbury had the freak season, at least he had the freak season. Gardner's
done
anything. I think it will depend on this. Like, can Gardner stay healthy? Can he stop those strikeouts? Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really going to depend on what he does this year, whether he gets something like in the 3 range or something in the 5 range.
Yeah, and it's bad that he's like walking less than he used to.
Yeah, striking out more and getting hurt all the time.
Yeah, getting hurt. Him, he's not colliding with people. This is just Gardnering.
Yeah. He collided with the ground that one time.
And whatever happened in that last game of the 2013 season for him, he's just like, oh, he's gone now and he's not coming back. And it just came out of nowhere.
It's an oblique. Everyone gets oblique.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like he swung funny and then that was it. And then
I'm
done.
I mean, when you're looking at injury history, an oblique thing is not really like a thing you can really say, like, oh, he's been injured. Like, you know, so many people have oblique injuries.
You just have that, like,
yeah, but the thumb thing.
Well, yes, the thumb thing is definitely a concern, considering, you know, he's got that oven mitt going on for him. The thumb, the elbow, the mystery elbow, I have no idea what happened.
Yeah.
Where he basically needed, like, Tommy John for an outfielder.
Yeah, I don't even know what that was. It seemed like they opened his elbow up for no reason, just to figure out if something was wrong with it.
It says inflamed tissue and bone spur. So, I guess that was it.
Oh, a bone spur. Okay.
That was pretty crazy. It seemed, I mean, it wasn't exactly what, like, Xavier Nady had at the beginning of 2009, but, I mean, like, he was just gone for, like, the entire year. But
true.
Anyway, we're getting a Fellsbury again because we don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. But I think that's a little more.
I don't have anything to say about him.
I think he'll project well. I mean, yeah, I think that there's the concern of that he is on the decline of the aging curve, but I think that you do need a center fielder, like a solid one to hold down the fort after Gardner is possibly gone or whatever. But I think that the type of value derived from him is, like, I'd say it's a decent amount of value for what you're paying him. I mean, it's overpay, obviously, but by Yankee standards, I don't know.
Yeah, it's nothing new for the Yankees to be overpaying for an outfielder or any kind of player. So that's what that's how I got over the Elbert contract. And I was thinking, like, well, maybe there might be something there, and maybe we have any. Some people have said that we've seen Elbert's best years, and obviously he's going to have problems topping 2011. But I think he can probably approach 2011 again without, like, getting to that level necessarily, because he's still a very talented player. I don't think anyone's denying that.
Yeah, and, like, people, like, completely dismissing it as an outlier is kind of silly, because, like, it's not like that year he was better than he already was. Like, he was great, but the point is, like, you can't be better than you are or else you would be that good.
Yeah.
So that potential, like, does exist. Like, he is aging, but, like, yeah, like, he's not going to get that good, but you have, like, the short porch in right field to hopefully aid his home run fly ball ratio, but that isn't completely out of reach. Like, it can't be like this just dismissed as an outlier.
And he only just turned 30 in September, so even like the best outfielders, like, had pretty good years from in their early 30s. I mean, people didn't, like, exactly shut down immediately after they turned 30. It's more like in the mid to late 30s, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, there are guys like Ricky Henderson who did so well, like, in their 30s. I mean, there were some that bombed, like Crawford.
Yeah.
But
Crawford's also not done with his deal yet, too.
True. But I think on the average, those types of players, like, who are very, very good center fielders who are built on speed, like, they've done well in their 30 to 36 area.
Yeah, that was a study that I referenced the other day in the article with Dave Cameron and Bill James.
Well, you know, at least I'm glad that the Yankees are signing these long-term contracts with people who are relatively young.
Yeah.
You know, they're not signing
Carlos Beltran, 6-year deal.
Exactly. They're not signing Cano to a 10-year deal. Like, you know, they're showing that at least maybe they've learned their lesson. Maybe. And I say that, and they'll probably prove me wrong.
Tomorrow.
Well, see, the thing is that people are like, the Yankees need to get younger. So they go sign a 30-year-old. No, I didn't want this one.
Well, I think it's the other thing that, like, somehow people think that if they're 29 years old, that they're just going to miraculously be a better team.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to view the 96 through 2000 era as, like, that was kind of lucky, too. Like,
yeah.
It's very difficult to have, like, you know, like, five solid players all at the same age getting better at the same time. Like, that's not going to happen again.
And they won, like, 12 playoff series in a row or something ridiculous like that, and that just doesn't happen.
Yeah, like, you have to view it as luck, and, like, just because your, like, average age is, like, 31 doesn't mean you're any less likely to win a championship.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to be the Yankees' policy to find, like their strategy to, like, find the value in these older players that, like, no one really wants or no one really wants to sign, and, you know, finding value in that. And that's fine. Like, I mean, it's a strategy. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, like any other strategy. Like, the A's go for injured players. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know, that is their kind of thing to do. You know, it's not as exciting, obviously. You know, we all want to see a prospect come up and, you know, tear it up. And I think Yankee fans are kind of starving for that, considering, you know, they kind of just watched Phil Hughes completely explode. But, you know, do the Yankees want to take chances on these younger players, or do they want to find, you know, the Alfonso Sorianos to fill in the blanks and kind of give a steady stream of, you know, talents that, you know, it might not be exciting and might not be sexy, but, you know, it's solid at least, you know, and Soriano was great last year. I mean, I don't know if he'd be that great again, but, you know, it worked out.
It was weird about Soriano, like, when he came up, it was kind of unusual that he was allowed to come up because, like, the Yankees were winning so much, and it was strange to have, like, this young player come up, but he only came up because Chuck Knobloch, like, died at second base, so... Well, Robinson Cano only came up because Tony Womack died at second base. So it's, like, the only times that the Yankees have ever really had, like, a youth influx, basically since Jeter came up, was when someone was just so horrendously awful that they're like, okay... We gotta do something else.
Except Chris Stewart, to whom that does not
matter. No, Stewart is a man.
He is a pirate now, so he is not my problem.
He does not belong on this podcast.
R.I.P. Chris Stewart.
No.
Yeah.
No R.I.P.
Drink all your fluids.
Rest in, actually, no, yes, R.I.P. Rest in pirates. Rest in Pittsburgh.
Good night, dehydrated prince.
Get a breath.
Get the man some water.
Need Yingling.
But, the binder will miss him.
Yankees also kind of need to deal with pitching, I feel.
You don't say.
Yeah, I feel like that's a thing. Like, they always say every year it's pitching, 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 and they don't do anything. Like, they don't like signing free agent pitchers for some reason. Unless it's CeCe. Or,
they wanted,
you know,
Tanaka, and then the posting system is now, like, set up against them completely.
Can't they just offer the Eagles, like, $100 million and just be like, here you go. And, like,
please.
You know, give them up under the table. You know, we got them. Smuggle them out of the country.
Under the old posting system, it was actually a very good plan because any money they spent toward the posting fee didn't count toward 189. And then...
Nope.
No. I mean, it's better than if it had gone to the team with the worst record, like, was rumored for, like, 5 minutes.
That was miserable.
Yeah.
That was going to be
Astros,
terrible.
Japanese.
Like, every time.
But I still, like, you know, now instead of paying a lot on the posting fee and then getting him for a reasonable price... It's basically like he's a free agent and he's going to be, you know, in this huge bidding war.
Yeah.
And he's going to end up getting $100 million.
Yeah.
And he's never thrown a pitch in America.
Jesus.
So.
Hopefully he's not Kagawa part two.
Ugh.
I don't think he will be, but I just...
I don't think he won't
even come here at this point based on like when...
Yeah, I mean, they might not even post him, in which case... You know, again, the Yankees, like, kind of put all of their chips in that pile. And there's really not a lot on the pitching market. Scott Pilgrim.
Oh.
Garza.
Matt Garza! Come on down.
Nelson Jimenez.
A lot of crap.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be Garza or Baldo, or they're going to make a trade with some stupid jerk.
They wanted Jimenez back in the day.
Jimenez?
When they wanted Montero, Nova,
everyone.
Ben Wallace.
Yeah.
Kansas.
Oh, where are those trades now? When you can get Dexter Fowler for Brandon Barnes.
Well, Jimenez was actually like good then.
Yeah, true. But still.
That was before he contracted the suck.
I mean, it really just comes down to whether they re-sign Corona, because then you'll be dealing with at least signing sort of the back end of the rotation.
I don't want to sign Corona.
Whoa.
I just think that $15 million is too much.
It is a lot, and but I don't know who they're gonna get in place of.
They gave it to Andy Pettit.
And that was
Well, I mean Pettit turned out to be a pretty decent like 3-4 starter last year.
But he was Andy.
Hiroka's Hiroka.
He gets special.
Hiroka's not Andy, but Hiroka's Hiroka.
I don't know. I was thinking that the Yankees could have gone for Tim Hudson. I would have liked that, but nope. The Yankees really seem to like to either go for this big-time ace free agent pitcher or one-year old veteran Grizzly guy.
You can have Irvin Santana and like...
No. Oh, my God. They're gonna sign Santana and Ubaldo.
I don't think they'll do that. I'd be kind of...
No. If they don't get Tanaka, they're definitely signing Garza.
Yeah, that's probably what I think would happen. He has the AL least experience. But, I mean, they need a starter, and I guess he would be the best one on the market if Tanaka's not available.
Except he, like, wilted when he was back in the AL.
Yes, I'm very aware.
But I mean, okay, think about this. If the Yankees don't sign Cano, and they go with either Johnson or they sign Infante, the second base, and then Alex Rodriguez is suspended, what is that lineup? I mean, that's nothing. That lineup is... Jacoby Ellsbury, Brett Gardner, Ichiro Suzuki, all in the same lineup.
But they also have Brian McCann, Mark Teixeira, and Alfonso Soriano, too.
I guess. I mean, like...
Ichiro can play third.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe Ichiro can play on the Sun.
But, you know, getting rid of Cano and then possibly losing A-Rod, you know, they already lost so much power last year. They're going to have, like, you know, if Mark Teixeira is not as good again, if Derek Jeter dies again, you know, the lineup will be very minuscule and slap happy.
Oh, yeah, but then you're playing in, like, the if game again, like, where last year was, like,
true. It is an if game, but it's a very, I don't know, it's a little more concrete of an if, I feel.
Maybe they'll re-sign Lyle Overbay.
They could put Vernon Wells back at third base.
No, Vernon Wells is going to be in retirement. Or the Marlins.
If they don't DFA him before the season starts,
they need to get rid of him.
After signing Ellsbury, I see no way in which both Vernon Wells and Ichiro end up on the team, unless they trade Gardner, and I don't think they're going to trade Gardner.
And yet, Ichiro.
I mean, I could see them trading Gardner if they don't get Tanaka, trading away Gardner for, like, a serious starting pitcher.
And then signing Chu. Yeah, they could do that, but I don't
know. Yeah, that's possible.
What kind of pitcher could Gardner even get, though?
Yeah,
Prospects?
I don't even know at this point.
I don't know. Is there anybody that, like, desperately needs a fast center fielder? Maybe the Reds.
send him to the Marlins for Jose Fernandez.
Yeah, there you go. I've heard Gardner for Homer Bailey.
That wouldn't happen.
I don't think it would, but I would do it, which usually means that they wouldn't.
Homer Bailey is like, he's not that much better than Phil Hughes, but he would have been a better outcome for Phil Hughes.
Yeah, if Phil Hughes ended up being Homer Bailey, I'd be okay with that. I mean, has hitters.
Maybe Man-Ban will rise from the ashes and be, like, awesome, and so will Pineda, and they'll just be, like, these two awesome, previously dead people.
Yay!
That would be delightful.
Pitching rotation done.
Also, if Nova could actually put together, like, a full, consistent season.
Also good. And CC will be fat and good.
And yes. He will eat Ichiro. Just
yep. I think the chances of that are about nil, but...
I mean, I think CC will turn it around next year. I think a lot of it had to do with, like, location issues, which is something you can work on. It wasn't, like, solely based on velocity issues, which is what people initially thought.
Guys, Phil Hughes is going to wear number 45 with the Twins.
Isn't that sweet?
The funny thing about seeing Hughes in a Twins uniform is that it doesn't look weird.
I just saw the picture.
It doesn't look weird at all.
It doesn't look weird at all, but the Twins general manager looks like he's thinking, I've just made a terrible mistake.
I've made a terrible mistake.
Sweeney Murray just tweeted that Yankees not feeling optimistic, but prepared to move on.
Oh, what? No.
Oh, no.
It says, person close to Cano said he's upset with how much Ellsbury got compared to his offer.
Oh, no joke.
Is he in tears?
Were they hoping they could know, wouldn't find out?
I mean, come on. They did this to insult him. I mean, this is on purpose. You know, they're in the middle of this back and forth with Cano, and then all of a sudden the Ellsbury thing comes out of literally nowhere. And then they're like, now we're going to raise your price. So this is how much you're worth. You're worth 10% more than Ellsbury.
Like they're not feeling optimistic. That's your fault.
I know, right?
They could have signed him.
Like, you're the one who's sitting there like, I don't care what offer you've got. 7-170.
I mean, I don't understand. Like, why are they playing hardball with him, like, to this degree? You know, like, meet halfway in the middle. That's how a negotiation works.
Yeah, I don't have any idea why all of a sudden in the land of, like, you get an option, you get an option, you get an option, they're like, Cano?
Nah.
Nah.
Brendan Ryan got 2 years and an option. But you?
No.
Nah.
Derek Jeter got a raise for not playing.
It's really horrendous. Like,
it's really dumb.
I'm beginning to think that that someone in the front office does not like Cano, does not want him to be part of the team.
Michael Kay,
maybe. But if that's the case, why didn't they trade him? Why didn't they do anything? Why did they pretend? Like, I mean, is it just to save face, to make them look like they tried or cared? Like, it's just unbelievable.
Well, the thing is that, like, there's no reason not to like Cano. I mean, he's great, and he's never, you know, gotten in trouble. He's not, you know, Alex Rodriguez or anything. Like, he's been a model citizen, and all of a sudden, he's who you decide to play hardball with?
Yeah.
Like, when it's been said all along that his preference is staying in New York, and he even changed agents to supposedly make that easier? Like, this is stupid.
This is absolutely really dumb.
And it's just strange the way they went out of their way to get Ellsbury, especially since, like, apparently Boston offered him 6-120, and then the Yankees, like, swooped in afterward and offered him the extra year and the extra average annual value. Like, they didn't have to do that. They could have just signed Cano.
Yeah, which, I mean...
And it was all seemingly to be like, hey, bro, we ain't waiting.
Yeah.
Which is fine if they would have just signed him right after.
They're like, calling his bluff, but he's calling theirs. And
I mean, again, someone's got to call just him. Like a game of chicken that's not ending. And I see the Mariners are now willing to offer 9 years or 225.
Yeah, that was what it was.
That is, I mean, to be fair, that is a lot.
It is a lot, but I think that they could probably you know, give him like 8 and an option and something close to those dollars, like not even necessarily more, and then he would probably stay because, hello,
yeah,
if it's comparable, then he's probably not going to Seattle. But it's not comparable. They're not making it comparable.
The Yankees don't understand that, like, there's all these reports about, like, contract. If he really wanted to be a Mariner, he would have signed already. It would have been done.
If he wanted to be a Mariner, he would have seen 9-2-25, and that would have been that.
Done.
I don't think anyone actually wants to be a Mariner other than Keegan Felix.
No, but, like, you know, it's pretty obvious that he wants to get as much money out of them as possible, and he's still not taking it. I mean, there should be no report saying that the Mariners are willing to go 9 years, $225 million. That should be Cano accepts this deal. I mean, like, did they call him on the phone and say, like, hey, we're willing to give you this much? All right, I'll have to think about it. Like, what? That's something you accept right away if you want to take that.
Is it, though?
You know, like,
I mean, I don't know.
I think we're about to get screwed. Real bad.
And Mariner fans are about to get really happy. They were, like, so happy. If you look on that thread, they were monitoring his flight.
Oh, I know.
Like, minute by minute. Oh, he's over this city now. He's over that city. Like, it's not the Queen of England.
And then, well, the thing
I mean,
is,
to
like,
them, it probably is. When's the last time they had, like, a big free agent want to be there?
He doesn't. He doesn't want to be there.
Well,
and they're still going to suck.
Choose to be there.
They're still going to suck.
I mean, I guess it's still, like, calling his bluff. It's, like, his... I mean, I know, like, 60 or 50 million is 60 or 50 million, but I guess, is it worth, like, going to the Mariners?
But I think if they made it, instead of 60 or 50, like, 40 or something, I think he'd stay. I don't think it has to be match. I just think it has to be close.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think it has to match. Close. But...
And then, you know, they said that they made it very hard for McCann to, like, not accept their offer. They're not doing that with him. And I don't get it. Like, Ellsbury, but... Just...
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't make any sense for them to be, like, all over Ellsbury and then, like, play hardball with Cano.
I mean, like, obviously, like, if you're going to give Ellsbury that much money, you have to give Cano more. He plays a premium position. He's been better. Like, you can't say, like, okay, this is how much we value Ellsbury at, but this is how much we value you at, and expect him to be like, okay.
Yeah, you know, and I understand them not wanting to give Cano anything he wants. I understand that they want to try to get as close as, you know, possible to a cheap deal. That's fine. You know, it's a negotiation, and they want to save as much money as possible. But, like, there comes a time where, you know, they go down, you have to go up. Like, you know, that's how a negotiation works. Cano was not going to go down from $300 million to $170. It's just not going to happen. And, like, you know, this is your problem. This is your mess that you have to deal with now after you decided not to extend him, to do anything for him. You know, like, Cano is, you know, within his right to want the most money he can get. Any free agent is going to do that. But, like, the Yankees need him, and they're refusing to actually pay him, I guess, a fair amount. I mean, yes, $175 million a lot. But, you know, if you're giving Ellsbury that much, if you're giving McCann that much, you got to give Cano even more because he's a better player.
And the saddest part about all this is the fact that if Cano signs in Seattle, the Yankees went on a $230 million shopping spree and are basically, performance-wise, going to, like, break even.
Yep.
And
yep.
It just doesn't make any sense. It's, like, it's a waste of money, really.
And, like, I keep waiting to hear, like, okay, now the Yankees are, you know, blah, 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 but it's not happening. Like, do they just not care? Like, do they think this is fake? Because it doesn't seem fake.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm sure even, like, hey, okay, we'll go up a little bit. Like, okay, maybe that'll pull him away a little bit. Like, they're just letting him do whatever he wants.
I mean, I feel like a deal could be imminent, and they're just, like, silent.
Shall yeah, apparently talks are serious.
And then... when they miss out, the Yankees are just gonna, you know,
you're gonna say like it was all about the money.
And
it was
all about the money. You didn't want to sign with us.
Yeah.
You want to go in a different direction.
It's like,
what direction is that?
Or they're going to pull out some 189 BS.
Yeah.
Oh, we still want to stay under 189. And don't sign Ellsbury. Like, sign Cano first and then go for Chu or Ellsbury.
So true.
But, I mean, again, like, earlier in the podcast we were talking about, like, Ellsbury. It's like, at least they're signing Ellsbury. He's younger. I mean, Cano is getting older, too. And second baseman don't age well.
Yeah, but Cano is...
Cano's only one year older than Ellsbury. And, you know, that's why I understand not wanting to sign him to a 10-year contract doesn't make stupid sense. But, like, you know, the money shouldn't matter. Get him to 8 years.
But it sounds like he wants 9, at least.
Well, again, it depends. If they give him 8 and then a higher AAV, maybe he wants that, you know, like...
Well, I mean, like, he's still, like, under that contract they are saying, like, $25 million AAV, right? The Yankees?
Yeah, but I'm sure that he wants more than 7 years. It doesn't necessarily mean he wants 9. The Yankees are only offering 7. The Yankees didn't want to go 8, and they didn't want to go 200. So, here we are.
Yep. Won't go 8, won't go 200, because, of course, they wouldn't. This is still the same team, the same front office that signed Alex Rodriguez.
Well, I mean, that wasn't a good contract, though, so...
No, but...
So why are we expecting them to, like, do it again, you know?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, like, they're so against signing it, like, you know, signing Alex Rodriguez to that contract was so wrong on so many levels. But then, you know, scaling it back in years and money to Cano, who, you know, is, I think, I don't know. But, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, they were, I understand that they probably maybe learned a lesson or two. Who the hell knows? Who knows what they learned? But, like, the fact is, like, they're not at least up to compromising. It's just bizarre.
I mean, especially since how much they saw revenue go down, like, ticket-wise. I mean, that should at least scare them into saying, well, we, like, absolutely have to win next year.
They keep saying all this stuff. No one comes to see Cano. But the thing is, like, people are going to stop coming because they didn't get Cano. Not because it's Cano, but because they have a worse team. Like, I mean, like... No one is, I'm sorry, I don't know if they think this, but no one is going to come to the ballpark to see Jacoby Ellsbury. No one's going to come see...
People will still come to the ballpark to see Derek Jeter, though. I mean, that's just going to happen anyway.
Well, yeah, that's fine. He's still with the team. He's still there.
Yep.
But I mean, like, Cano gives them a better team. So, like, there are definitely those people that are going to go see Derek Jeter. Fine. But there are also those people that want to go see a winning team. And we saw with last year how people didn't want to go see a losing team. They were terrible.
Yeah. And I think that, I don't know if you guys saw the articles written in Baseball Prospectus by Ben Lindbergh about the transaction analysis of Ellsbury. And he was just talking about how, like, when the Yankees get to this range of, like, 80 to 90 wins, like, each win that they gain is, like, worth so much more to them than anyone else. Like, if they do not sign Cano, they're due to lose more revenue than any other team in that loss of wins. So, like, this means a lot to them losing him, like, more than any other team. And it's, like, worth more to them than it is worth to the Mariners of signing him.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, because, I mean, no one's, like, yeah, Cano might show an uptick in, you know, Mariners attendance, sure. But, like, once the team proves that it's still not a contender, it's not going to do anything for them. Like, people are not going to go solely to go see Cano. So, you know, the Yankees do have the most to lose and the most to gain from...
Everyone's just speechless.
Cano is giving me a lot of angst.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm just...
I have a Cano poster in my apartment, and he's just looking down on me in shame.
I'm in a very dark place right now.
Why do we live in a world where the Seattle Mariners can outbid the Yankees for a player? For a homegrown Yankees player.
I swear, the Yankees only do this to their homegrown players that are not Derek Jeter.
They were pretty tough on negotiations with Jeter the last time around, though.
Yeah, but then they gave in.
They did.
Well, they gave in, I mean, but they weren't not going to give in.
Well, yeah, but, like, that was Brian Cashman, you know, playing hardball because it was the only thing that made sense. But, like, you know, they played hardball with Bernie Williams. They basically, like, shot him into space.
To be fair, Bernie Williams probably needed to be shot into space at that point.
Probably, yes, sure. But, like, then there was Cano, and then, now there's Cano, and it's just like, you know, if this is Derek Jeter, he would already be signed. Like, you know, it's just, why are we having this problem?
They did take care of Sabathia pretty quickly last year.
Oh, yeah.
It was, like, before, I think it was, like, on Halloween, Sabathia signed.
They're very quick to sign these, you know, players from outside the organization. When it comes to Cano, you know, oh, we don't know what we're going to get. You know, he's their player.
I don't want to live in a world where the Mariners are taking my favorite player.
Exactly. I don't really... The idea of watching the Yankees without Robinson Cano doesn't really entice me at all. Like, I understand that the team is bigger than Robinson Cano, but, like, you know, it just doesn't interest me. I mean, what I'm, like... Jacoby Ellsbury, and then maybe get a root for hope to God that, you know, Derek Jeter is alive and that Mark Teixeira fights off, you know, more death. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of optimistic things to root for. You're rooting for people to be alive.
I think it hurts the brand, like, severely. Like, signing Cano is sort of making a statement saying, like, this is a franchise player, this player is, like, a Yankee. Like, he projects to be, like, a Hall of Fame second baseman who will go down as, like, the best second baseman the Yankees have ever had. Like, it kind of just hurts the brand to say, like, well, we didn't really care enough about him to re-sign him. We're just going to go to the Mariners.
Exactly. Like, this is what you think of your homegrown superstar.
Yep.
He can go to the Mariners.
Yep, let him go. We don't need him, except, you know... You know, it'd be one thing if the Yankees had a great team or a great prospect coming up. Like, you know, they don't. They don't have any of that. Like, do they think they're going to pull, like, a Cardinals and, like, just suddenly compete without Pujols? Because they don't have the farm system for that.
Yeah. And Pujols was already pretty obviously declining.
The saddest thing would be seeing Robinson Cano going into the Hall of Fame with a Mariners hat on.
Oh,
well, the thing is that is going to happen is that Safeco Field is going to eat up some of his numbers, and everyone's going to be like, see, look, he declined. And then, you know, everyone will be like, well, Cano is not good, or whatever. Whatever the hell they're going to talk about.
That'll be the only thing to talk about in Seattle. Not like probably. Their team's their team won't be in contention.
That might be what the Yankees are challenging him, too. It's like, well, I mean, if you really want to go to Seattle just for, like, obviously, like, $50 million or whatever, but no.
But I mean, I understand them wanting to challenge him on that. That's a fine thing to challenge, but like, when the money is so drastically different, like, 9 times out of 10, player's gonna pick the money, you know?
There's also no income tax.
Also that. Also, you know, as much as it's like, oh, well, you know, it's further away from the Dominican Republic, well, he's going to be like a giant millionaire. I think he can, you know, buy a spaceship.
He can get his own Cano Private Express from Seattle to Dominican.
I mean, yeah, he can have his own bullet train installed.
Over the water.
Over the water. Around the world. you know, it's like, the Yankees think that, like, they're going to hold him to all these things and it's going to matter. Like, it really, it's not that it comes down to the money, it just has to be comparable money because, you know, Yankees are already in the lead because Cano would much rather play for the Yankees.
This sucks.
Yes.
We should probably get to the tweet bag.
Maybe.
Tweet bag. What will be the worst contract when all is said and done? Crawford's deal with Boston or Jacoby's with New York? I mean, it'd be hard to do a lot worse than Crawford's deal with Boston. Oh, so I feel like that's like the worst case scenario. So probably...
Yeah, no, that's like mega worse.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
Good job.
Oh, we got this tweet from this I'm not a HR hitter fellow. When are you going to replace that stupid host with a new one?
We already did. Next.
Shots fired.
Boom.
Okay, now we're on the site tweet bag. What is the best contract you would offer to Cano if you were running the Yankees front office? And what subsequent moves would you make if the Yankees lost out on Cano?
My subsequent moves would be just cry. Because there's no subsequent moves. I mean, like, there's nobody comparable to him.
Back to Tony Womack. That's what I said.
Bring him out of retirement?
Boo!
I would kidnap Mike Trout and Giancarlo Stanton and Jose Fernandez and anybody else that I decide that I would like to have.
That's very impressive.
Soriano back in second.
Do it.
I would just acquire all of them. I would run from ballpark to ballpark with my giant kidnapping bag.
Gotcha.
Well, okay. Here's a real question. If the Yankees miss out on Cano, who are they most likely to trade for? Brandon Phillips or Dan Ugla?
The noose.
Go.
The answer is no.
I think it's more likely they'll get Infante than they would trade for Dan Ugla.
You know, what's sad is that you say I could that. See them doing something for Brandon Phillips because the Reds need a center fielder now. Because Chu's not there. So they could trade Brett Gardner.
And the Reds
then sign Chu. Like,
yeah.
The Reds seem to not like Phillips anymore. They want to get rid of him. It's possible they could do that.
But again, like Brandon Phillips, this guy is on the decline, so I'm not really particularly interested in Brandon Phillips either.
No.
Yeah, but I mean, if the cost was only Gardner, who is a free agent after the season, that wouldn't be the worst thing that has ever happened, I don't think.
You just have to be forced to have the Ichiro Vernon Wells combo in right field.
No, it would be Soriano, Ellsbury, and Chu.
Oh, so you're assuming that they're going to get Chu? Like in that?
Well, I mean, they did say that if they lose out on Cano, that Chu is their top target.
Yeah.
So that just makes no sense because, like, they're saying, okay, we don't want to pay $200 for Cano, but we'll pay something in the range of Ellsbury for Chu, plus like $50 more for other.
Oh no, it doesn't make any sense at all.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
They might as well.
I don't know if they would pay as much for Chu as they did for Ellsbury. But
I think he'll probably come in at like 125 or so, which is not that much less.
Nope.
Well, it's still like full 25 million.
But it's like this whole idea that like, hey, we missed it on this position, so we'll just overspend on another position. That'll make up for it. It's fine.
Well, I mean, it still makes up for it in, like, the lineup. And the lineup, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I suppose. But, I mean, I guess the idea is, you know, is the lineup with Gardner, Ellsbury, and, say, Soriano with Cano better or worse than Gardner, Chu, Ellsbury, and Infante?
I'd rather just have Cano. Like, they would just make everything so much easier.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Should the Yankees begin to ramp up their interest in free agent pitchers not named Tanaka? Yep.
Yeah.
I think they should think of something.
Probably best not to ignore that little problem.
We really need pitching, but we're not going to do anything to acquire it.
I mean, I guess, like, the sad thing is that the starting pitching market is just kind of, like, very unimpressive. So, I think the Yankees need another starter, aside from like Kuroda, who they'll probably resign. But I really don't like Garza.
No, but I mean, they have to do something.
Yeah.
We didn't get to talk.
Can't Cashman just call Kuroda and be like, "All right, listen, dude, you just got to give me an answer. Are you coming back? Or are you not? Because this is how many months have you had to think about this?"
Actually, he should be like, "Yo, we need your $15 million for Cano." So
maybe Kuroda's like, "Yeah, you pay Cano and I'll sign. Otherwise, I'm not joining your team." Guns to Cashman's DePoto's head. What's the package to get Mike Trout?
3 firstborns.
A gun to both their heads?
Yeah.
I feel like there'd be no price because then Cashman would just be like, "Just give it to me for nothing." We're going to get shot in the head. I feel like it's pretty simple.
You make a fair point.
Guns to both their heads. What are they going to do? They're just going to do it.
Give him Mike Trout. Okay.
All right.
Give us Mike Trout or you have to take Vernon Wells and Ichiro.
No.
Guns the cash into DePoto's head. With the package to get Mike Trout. Quick. Give us Nunez. Well, I don't know.
I don't know about that. He has potential.
He just needs a couple thousand at bat.
He's going to figure it out one day.
Yogi says he needs 500 bats. Listen to what Yogi says.
Dante Bichette Jr. says it takes popsicles a long time to freeze.
Oh, God. Dante back. And I've died.
Yeah. We need Dante Bichette Jr. as, like, a guest on the podcast.
Ask him. He'd probably do it. He seems to have a lot of free time on his hands.
I think we should get Fernando Tatis as a guest. That would be interesting.
Fake Fernando Tatis. Everyone is like, yeah.
Fernando.
That's Cy Granderson.
I'm not a blogger. I'm an independent contractor.
I'm an independent fake player.
Realistically, though, Mike Trout could get well over $300 million. Probably will.
Yeah, unless he, like, dies within the next few years.
It's very hard to go from a war of, like, 10 to, like, nothing. It's, like, really difficult. Unless, like, you have a serious injury.
Yeah, I think, like, the last player to have, like, I don't think actually anyone has had as strong a beginning as, like, Trout, but the last one to even be, like, comparable was A-Rod before he signed that deal with the Rangers, and that was, like, the biggest deal ever signed at the time by far. So, he could, so Trout could set a new standard, and Harper probably won't be much far behind.
That's hard. I mean, because Trout, like, I don't know, there was a recent thing they did, like, most value, like, through your, like, 22nd birthday, and it was, like, there are only, like, a handful of players, like, in history that have been as good as Mike Trout's been at that early, like, of an age. So, I don't know if Harper, like, really matches his value.
No, I don't think he matches his value at all, but I think he'll, like, get something pretty good when he gets...
Yeah, considering how young he is.
Manny Machado will also get paid very well if he actually makes it to free agency, because he's one of the other, like, rare players to make it to free agency in their mid-20s, and he's really good.
Let's sign them all.
Robinson Cano is really good.
Nope. He's lazy.
Doesn't hustle the first
game. Yeah, we should sign Pedroia instead.
So a 200-year contract worth $1 billion.
It's because Pedroia runs to first base.
Look at him, he jumps and hops.
He's so gritty. No, seriously, like, if being short is, like, something that makes you awesome, like, I want somebody to pay me.
Oh, please. I'd make a bunch of money.
Like...
You've got grit.
Yeah, if that means that I, like, deserve extra money and am better than other people who are not so short, then I need to increase my sweet blogger coin. Because I'm totally shorter than Grant Brisby.
I hear you have needs of a short player. I would like to increase my sweet blogger coin... Twofold.
I hear your vorb.
Maybe even threefold.
I hear your vorb is unimpressive, but you have grit, so.
Yeah, like, find me a blogger.
You're wild.
That I am taller than, because I'm pretty sure I might be the shortest.
Mm-hmm.
Get it done, Blazinski.
Liz Rocher looks pretty short.
I'm sure she's not shorter than me.
Probably not. You're pretty short.
I'm pretty freaking short. So is that it? Are we done? Can I go cry now?
Oh, Yankee and Mitri of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The Yankee and the... That was horrible. Horrible.
No, that was pretty good. That was all right. That was all
right. Yeah, it was better than I could have done.
Oh, okay. Well, very good. So,
I actually didn't know that was his voice until, like, I don't know, like, 3 podcasts ago. I honestly thought he had a sound effect.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Jason, who's your Yankee of the week?
Ooh, me first, really?
Okay, fine. Tanya, who is your Yankee of the week?
My Yankee of the week is Brian McCann, because now he is, like, waterproof.
He is a, like, giant baby.
Like, water will just, like, caress off of him. There's nothing to stop it.
Off his dome.
There's nothing to it.
We didn't even like talk about him at all, and technically his signing came within the past 2 weeks.
Oh.
Well, whatever.
We signed Brian McCann. It happened.
Well, I mean, we talked about, like, all what okay would happen if they did sign him in the last time.
We're so all fine enough with it. It's fine. It means
he's
no Stewart.
He's completely hairless. It's fine.
Yeah.
Great.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah. Matt P., who is your Yankee of the week?
I say Jacoby Ellsbury had a pretty good week.
It's true. He is $150 million richer.
He didn't care when all the Boston fans booed him.
He got booed at a Christmas tree lighting.
Oh.
So sad.
And then he threw money at them.
Made it rain.
And then disappeared on his helicopter. My Yankee of the week is Kelly Johnson. Because he got signed out of nowhere, and he's pretty cool for a reserve. Only a reserve, though. Because if he's the starting at second or third, I'm going to cry.
No, you've made him your Yankee of the week. It's too late.
I know. I'm just, it's precautionary.
The cautionary Yankee of the week.
Yeah.
My Yankee of the week is...
Stewart.
Stewart. Yeah, sure. My Yankee of the week is Chris Stewart because he's no longer on the Yankees.
Yay.
He was the Yankee for part of the week.
Yeah, he left. That's what he did good.
Or Brian Gordon. The real big free agent signing of yesterday.
Yeah, I was thinking about him for my Yankee of the week. I mean, you know, he managed to get a contract.
But okay, so I'll go with Chris Stewart since he's not on the Yankees anymore.
All right,
Mitra of the week. Jason, go.
Oh, I am going to go with Randy Levine. Because that guy. And his stupid...
stupid hair.
His tanned sideburns.
Did a dog eat your hair, bro? What happened?
Did you light it on a fire? You stupid fire clown hair.
I said that he should straighten his hair so it would, like, cover that spot.
Oh, God.
Like a flat iron, too.
Tanya, who is your feature of the week?
Hal Steinbrenner.
Seems fair. You mean Yanks to win?
Yeah. Get your butt on the phone. And not gonna.
Oh, my God.
And you'll be my perennial Mitre of the week. Until you do.
Well, I think the message is sent there.
Well, then,
dip into the hedge fund. Sell the yacht.
You will always be.
Yeah, I don't care what you have to do.
Are we in
Sell
that?
Sell your brother. Sell him into the circus.
Sell Randy Levine into the circus.
Exactly.
I thought Hank Steinbrenner was going to the circus.
No, he is, but he's taking Levine with him. They can be like, it can be an act. Man hides Pop-Tarts from other man. How does it go?
Hint. Ends with A-Rod getting a $270 million contract.
Yeah. Do what you gotta do. Mortgage the stadium. I don't care.
Sell.
Get it
done.
Sell off the Steinbrenner face.
Auction that thing off.
It's definitely made of gold. So it's like, break it down into gold bricks, you know.
eBay it.
Sell it off.
Craigslist. Have statue. Will travel.
Have giant, terrifying black face.
Craigslist. Well, I have this Steinbrenner face for sale. It's like 70 feet tall, made of gold.
Your
Not gaudy at all.
Your picks will get my picks.
ASL.
Okay, next.
Yeah.
This is getting creepy.
All right. Matt P., who was your meet of the week?
Mine is Jay-Z.
Ooh.
Because he claims that he made the Yankee hat more famous than the Yankee game, and he is signing Cano to the Mariners. So I guess he'll have to change his song lyrics to "He made the Mariners game, the Mariners hat more famous than the Mariners game."
I don't think that goes as well. He's going to have to really fix that.
He's going to have Empire State of Mind, but with Seattle next time.
Yeah.
Space Needle State of Mind.
The Emerald City State of Mind.
Rainy as Hell State of Mind.
Starbucks State of Mind.
Microsoft.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, honestly, if Jay-Z signs Cano to Seattle, he can get the fuck out of New York. Is he really gonna flaunt around watch Yankee games with his Yankee hat while he, you know, sign Cano over to the Mariners. Like, get the fuck out. Like, are you serious?
I would probably throw food at him if I saw him at the stadium.
Get out of the stadium. I'm sorry, sir. You're not allowed here. Like, there should be pictures at the entrances. This man is not allowed in. No entry.
Just put it next to the one in pink.
Because I'm like...
The most ironic thing is that if he claims that he makes the Yankee ad more famous than the Yankee game, that will actually be true when Cano's gone. Because no one will want to go to the Yankee game.
Yay! Now he wins. This was his play all along.
Andrew?
My Mitre of the week is, Jason Nix. Because I don't think he ever ended up as one of our Mitres of the week, and he really deserved it, and now he's not on the team anymore, and he probably won't be back because they re-signed Brendan Ryan.
He had to have been a Mitre of the week.
I don't think come he was. On. I, like, kept track.
He's got, you've kept track of them.
Yes.
Well, you have a tally going
it's
on?
Very important stuff. I'll do a post at the end of the year.
What, do you carve it into the side of your computer?
What?
Tally mark it?
Yes, I tally mark. Oh, okay, never mind. Tanya made Jason Nix her feature of the week 2 weeks in a row. That was when, that was when he fell on his ass and lost the game in Chicago. He's the worst person.
What about Phil Hughes? He signed with the Twins.
Or
Curtis Granderson. Curtis Granderson had salmon with the Mets, and now he's going to sign with them.
Look at your life.
Unless he gets mercury poisoning.
Oh, that's true. That's a danger.
Fish danger.
I mean,
too much mercury.
Sorry, go ahead.
The Mets are going to poison him.
Oh, well, there you go.
They don't need to use salmon for that. He just has to play on the Mets.
He'll contract Valley Fever.
He'll just contract the Mets.
Came down with a serious case of the Mets.
Oh no, he has no legs.
Oh no, okay, I finally got my for real Mitre of the week. It's Johnny Damon because someone asked him to comment on the Ellsbury thing and he made it about him, of course.
Of course he did.
Because that's just what Johnny Damon does. So the good thing is Jacoby brought two World Series championships to Boston. He's a heck of a player. It just seems like he's finding a way to stay healthy, and he's going to be awesome in New York. Unfortunately for Boston fans, this is what happens sometimes. As much as your heart belonged to Boston and everything, it comes down to being a business. Unfortunately, we're part of that. I wish him the best, and yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks, Johnny.
Go into retirement.
I'm gonna leave now.
Hey, if anyone wants me to get 3,000 hits, I won't do it.
Just call.
Yeah, still available. Still here.
Hit me.
I don't know. Even after he shaved the beard and cut his hair, I just never get that image of him cutting his toenails in the dugout out of my mind.
Ew, what?
In 2004, he cut his toenails in the dugout.
Oh, okay. So that was chicken and beer before chicken and beer.
Yeah, it was toenails and beer.
Would you rather toenails and chicken?
Well, it was toenails and Jack Daniels because they took Jack Daniels shots before each game.
Oh my god, okay.
But it was quirky then when they actually won.
We were talking about feet, and I cannot talk about feet. So this just needs to not be.
Oh, wait, okay, never mind. I found the best Damon quote. I feel like I was part of the Jacoby Ellsbury business. If they re-signed me, maybe they would have traded Jacoby. Or Jacoby may not have gotten that shot in Boston. Things work out for a reason.
So he should really be thanking me.
I made you, Jacoby. I made you.
So if you think about it, I really have 3,000 hits.
What a weird dude.
What a ridiculous person.
I don't understand his life.
Done with you. Done.
Is anything else come forth on the tweet, Dar?
Nope.
I'm pretty slow, actually.
I think Cano has turned in for the night, and he's sleeping his little Cano dreams.
No way. It's 3 hours behind us.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
He's in Seattle right now.
Partying it up.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Can we, like, negotiate your contract? Nah, we gotta hit the scene.
I got a Starbucks to get to, man.
We got 2 hours. Come back in 2 hours.
I got a,
don't wait up.
I got a party with, Felix? I don't even know.
And hit me up, Felix. And Kyle Seeger.
And the Seattle Sounders.
God.
I guess no news is good news for now.
Back to us.
For now. Hopefully there will be some kind of resolution on Cano in the next couple.
I want to wake up tomorrow and find out that he's a Yankee. Like, just want it done with.
I just
want
to hear that, like, Brian Cashman snuck to Seattle, like, by some secret jet in the middle.
Oh, God.
He was choked in the cargo bay.
No, yeah, yeah. He snuck in. He was stuck onto the plane, and then he choked out Jay-Z, and then, like, bagged Cano, and then got out of there. Ninja Cashman.
That just sounds like Batman Cashman.
All right, fine. Batman Cashman. He, like, disappeared in the shadows.
Maybe he intercepted the plane.
Maybe.
The last thing I heard about Cashman was just that he was going to rappel down a building with Bobby Valentine.
Of course. Of course. Was he even at the press conference? Like, I feel like he didn't.
He was.
He was just kind of, like, in the background.
He was the one that was, like, handing out the flowers and being really awkward.
Yeah, and the baby uniforms.
You have a onesie. Have a onesie. Have some flowers. Have some flowers.
That's what he's been reduced to. I mean, like, seriously, like, I feel like Brian Cashman has been, like, MIA this entire offseason so far.
I do remember seeing an article that was, like, Hal wants to be more involved now. I'm like, oh, this is good.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's great.
Hal?
Because apparently the Yankees don't understand that what an owner does is just sit there and make money.
You know, Hal could be more involved by, like, taking out his checkbook.
Nah. Nah. He's now gonna tell him what players they need to sign.
Ugh. This whole Cano Yankee situation is just such a difficult everything. Alright, so you can follow us on Pinstripe Alley on the website. Okay, that was redundant. I'm gonna do that again.
You can follow Pinstripe Alley on Pinstripe Alley on the internet of Pinstripe Alley.
Maybe I'll just copy it.
At www.pinstripealley.
HTTP
Pinstripe Alley.
www.
If you Google Pinstripe Alley, it'll probably come up. If you can Bing it.
Go to AskVista.com.
Go to Ask Jeeves.
Where is PinstripeAlley.com?
How does one get to Pinstripe Alley?
Are there directions?
Well, you hang on to the roof. And... Okay. So,
oh, man.
Anyway, you can follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Alley. We have no D. Obviously.
It's great.
We have never had a D.
There has been no D ever.
There is never any D in the alley. And you can like us on Facebook if you would like, if you're daring.
you can like us if you like.
Yeah. And you can go subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just search Pinstripe Valley Podcast and we'll show up. Don't follow...
On your iMachine.
Yes, in your iMachine. Don't follow the Pinstripe Valley Podcast that has, like, no episodes since 2012, since that's not the right one. And, hey, you can rate and review us on iTunes if you like. That'd be daring, and I don't think anyone's done that yet, so...
You could be a pioneer.
You could be a pioneer in rating the Pinstripe Valley Podcast.
Guys, I just Google mapped Pinstripe Alley, and there are no Pinstripe Alleys. There's a Pinstripe Court in Connecticut.
Oh, man.
No, Virginia. Sorry, Virginia. Totally different places. Anyway, move on.
We don't exist.
Nope. We're not a place. There's no place to go.
Well, in the meantime, I see that Cano could sign by the weekend, so if you'll excuse me.
We're going to go drink. Okay. Bye.
So for Tanya, Jason, Matt P., and the absent Greg, I'm Andrew.
The ghost of Greg.
The ghost of Greg. Mandrew, Pinstripe Alley. Good night. Yankees, please empty the wallets.